Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Because I had been through this numerous times before and they knew who I was and I felt fine. I was confident, probably the kiss of death. And there was this stupid idea that I had where I was like, it'd be really funny if I said this line and then bit a carrot like I'm Bugs Bunny or something. Like, I don't know what the idea was there, but I was like, I'm going to say the line. I'm going to bite the carrot. They're going to bring a house down. It's going to be amazing. So I did it. Mm-hmm. I bit the carrot. Choked on the carrot.
Oh my God, it was a real carrot?
A real carrot.
Hello world and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. If this is your first time tuning in, this is the show where I speak to fellow actors about their journey and I make them share a couple bad audition stories with me. If you're not already subscribed to the show, make sure you hit that subscribe button right now and leave us some love. Today on the show, we have Andrea Anders. You may recognize her as Ted's wife in Ted Lasso, or maybe you saw her in Nancy Drew or Cruel Summer. We're going to talk all about her new film Spirited on Apple and, you know, a little reboot of a classic show called That 90s Show. I'm so excited for it. I don't know if you are, but I am so stoked for it. So here's my conversation with Andrea. And welcome to the show, Andrea.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. I'm so excited to talk to you. You've been in some of the greatest things in the last couple of years. So very excited. But before we talk about all the stuff that you have going on right now and the recent things, I need to ask you, why did you become an actor?
Oh, wow. That's such a good question. Okay, I'm going to answer this honestly, and it's not probably going to be a very inspiring thing, but it is the truth. I mean, and I've said this before, I basically a few people told me to, and I listened. I mean, that's the truth. So it started with my brother, who has since now become this huge success, which is such a funny story in and of itself. But when I was in high school, my older brother, Sean Anders, he told me that I should do something cool, like drama. And he was sort of this really influential person in my life since the time I was born. I just thought everything he did and said, I should listen to. And so I did. I said, okay. And I tried out for the drama club. And the woman that was running the drama club said, you should go to school for acting. And so I did. And then when I got out of that school, my very best friend, Jessica Lanius, said, you should come with me to New York. And so I did. And that's literally how it all started. I just kept listening to the people who I thought knew better than me and did it.
I love that.
Isn't that weird? I mean, that is the truth. I mean, I would love to say like, it was my passion. It really wasn't. I just was like, okay. I mean, I kind of just kept listening to the, like I said, the people that I thought were smarter than me.
Well, and it clearly worked out. They were smart about it. Yeah. They knew. They saw it.
I guess, yeah.
Wow. So you go to New York, and how was that transition for you? I mean, you went to college, yes, and then you went to New York, and how did you find yourself in that big city life?
Yeah, it was rough. I mean, look, I'm from a place called DeForest, Wisconsin.
No.
That about sums it up. I mean, it was one of those like no stoplights, you know, like kind of a town. So when I was very, very young, 21 years old, and that friend said, let's go to New York. And I said, okay. And I, you have to understand, from DeForest, Wisconsin to New York City, particularly way, way back then, because I'm a bit older now, it was like landing on the moon. And I was extremely out of my element. And I got into a cab accident, and I got fired from a day job. Oh my gosh. And I got told that I was fat at an audition. And I, all within 30 days of being in New York, and I called my mother, and to her credit, sobbing, saying, I can't make it. There's no way. I've been here 30 days and I'm dying. And she said, just give it 30 more. Just please give it 30 more. And honestly, in those next 30 days, I figured something out and found some footing and stayed and met some influential people and got a little path going and it worked out. But yeah, if I had done what I wanted to do, I would have been swallowed up immediately by that city.
And you'd be back in Wisconsin.
Yep. Married to Jesse Ziegler, my high school boyfriend. And he's married to a beautiful, wonderful woman now. He's far better off.
Oh my gosh. Well, you stayed in New York, and we are all very thankful for that. What was like the first role that you booked that you were like excited to call your parents about? Because that's always the ones that are like the big ones for me.
Yeah. Well, the first thing that happened that was a big deal was, and it's called an under five, which means you have less than five lines, which was great with me on One Life to Live. And they had a huge party at the Mexican restaurant in Madison, and everybody came to watch me be on that show. Aww. I know, it's really sweet. I know. And it's really funny too. I don't think I've got it anymore. I'm sure I could figure out how to dig it up somehow, but it's very funny because you watch it and I look ridiculous. I mean, I just like so clearly like I'm on TV, like I'm like going like it's a green screen or something, like, so clearly not in the scene.
You're just like, do you see me? Hello.
I made it.
I'm here.
I can go home now. Yeah, I really did feel like, well, this is it. I did it.
They're going to be knocking down my door now.
Yeah.
Calling
yeah,
me exactly. For everything.
Or even like no more jobs. It's fine. I just, I succeeded. I did it. I did what I came to do.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
Yeah, that was amazing.
And then how long was it until you booked like your first substantial arc on a show or, you know, bigger role in a film? How long did that take you?
So that took me. So what happened there was, and then again, the same girl that said, why don't you come to New York with me? Then said to me, you should go to grad school and get a master's in acting. And I did it again. I was like, okay. And so I went out to, which is funny because actually when people decide to go to grad school, they typically audition for various schools.
Yeah.
And again, she was going to Rutgers, and I went to Rutgers and I auditioned for just them. And I don't know why they let me in, but they did. And again, not really knowing, like later finding out, like people went to these big auditions where there were many, many schools, or I don't know. I was just like, okay. And I did it, went to grad school. When I got out of graduate school, I got a job on Law and Order, which again,
yes.
I didn't know that Law and Order was like where you all get a job. Like,
yeah. I mean, that's the show to be on when you live in New York.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know that. And so I just was like, again, I did it. I have a guest star in Law and Order. This is it. I did it. And so I did that. And then the next sort of big thing was I booked a lead role on Broadway. And that was pretty intense. Now, once I did that, I booked a job. I booked a pilot in Los Angeles, and they flew me out to, again, that was all new too. Like, fancy. What? You're going to buy my plane ticket? Amazing. You know, they could have put me in coach. I wouldn't have known. And I came to LA. This, I love that my story is all about me being stupid, basically.
I came to LA. It's that you're willing. You're okay. Willing. Maybe
that's better. Know? That's better. Yeah, I'm really well educated. I have a master's, but I just am kind of like, yeah, free flowing, I guess. But I came to LA to shoot that show, and I thought, oh my God, you can get a car in LA and you can get all the groceries you need. Like, I was in New York where it was like, you can't get milk today because I can't fit it in the bags to carry it up. I was like, wow, I can buy all the milk.
Oh my God.
And so I was like, what am I doing in New York? Like, and then came to LA. And then once I came to LA, it took me like 8 or 9 months to get something going. And in that 8 or 9 months, I really did feel like, I think it's over. Like, I think it's done. I couldn't get anything. And then things started to happen. But it's funny to look back on that and remember thinking like, it's over for me. And being like, it was 9 months. Are you out of your mind?
Right. Yeah. I mean,
you could have gone dry for 5 years and still made it, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what is the craziest thing about this industry and this profession, is that we can literally not work for years and then all of a sudden work nonstop and just be so busy.
Yeah. And honestly, that is the chess game, or maybe it's Russian roulette. I don't know. It's a high stakes scary game. One of them. Well, it's a very scary game where it's like, do you quit or do you not? That is the question. You know, it's like, and it's happened to me a lot where I've decided I'm going to start an organization business, you know?
Oh my God. Yes. Yes. It's like, oh, should I sign up to be a worker on TaskRabbit? I think I'd be good.
Totally. Uber, like anything, you know, you just start to go like, oh, you might want to start thinking about what you're going to do here. Cause this could be it for you. And by the way, it's not like that's over. You know what I mean? I think something happened lucky for me, which was right at the moment that I aged out of the network game, where it was like, I'm no longer like the sparky girl that he kind of loves, you know, like I'm no longer that anymore. Streaming happened, and streaming just so happened to want real folks. And so I was lucky that way, you know, because I was sort of looking down the barrel of going, oh, you're about done. You're like a professional athlete. You're 37. It's over. And then this other animal came into the business that said, no, we like you. And I was like, oh, great, great.
Okay, well, speaking of streaming, we could not have this conversation without talking about Ted Lasso. Because, I mean, that show is so good. It's the best show. It's the best.
What a sensation. Yeah, what a sensation. And it's funny, too, because, you know, I started that show before. That's the thing. You're always shooting something going, I don't know what's going to happen with this thing. And a lot of times, nothing. I've been shooting various things. In fact, one recently where I was shooting something thinking, this might be really bad. I can't quite tell, but I don't think I'm going to see it. So it's fine. And then it hit. And I was like, oh, okay, well, good. But again, you know, you're on Ted Lasso and you assume, you're like, well, it's Sudeikis and Bill Lawrence and Apple and probably going to do well, but you don't know. But I didn't know that. I didn't know it was going to do that.
It's one of those, there's not many shows out there that like can be as real as it is, but also be so hopeful.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's why everybody was perfect timing. Everybody was depressed and in their homes. And then Ted Lasso comes into your life and you're like, oh, I feel a little bit better about the world.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yep. Yep. And I shot the first season in 2019 in September. So it was moments before it happened. And I was in London shooting it thinking, wow, I kind of thought this part of my life, being an American tourist with my tennis shoes and my Columbia rain jacket and looking at all the museums, was over. I was like, I thought that I ended that in my 20s. And here I was doing it again, feeling like, wow, I can't believe I'm getting this opportunity to do this right now. And then the world shut down.
And then the world
shut down. So it was even double lucky. And then, you know, and then the show came out and made everybody feel better.
I mean, what a cool show to be a part of.
Yeah.
Really cool. You've also, I mean, you've been in so much. I feel like to talk about everything that you've done, we would be here for hours.
That's funny. I was just telling somebody the other day that people say to me, somebody asked me, I said, do you get recognized? And I said, this is the way I get recognized. It's like, I feel like I know you from somewhere, but I don't know where. And I was like, yeah, that's not right. that's basically how it's gone.
I feel like that's like the best way though to be as an actor, you know, because you can still keep your like own life, you can keep your personal stuff to you, and you're still working and you have a great career and a beautiful body of work, but you're able to have your life as your own.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's funny, you know, you and I, before we jumped on, we were talking about social media, and I'm just now going to start to put my toe back in the water in social media. And it's one of the reasons that's kept me out of it is what you just mentioned. It's like, I'm a strangely private person for somebody who chose this as a career and loves people. And I really do love being around. I'm not one of those people that hates people. I love people. I always enjoy meeting people, even when they're tricky. I find that interesting, you know, like, but I do, I'm a little shy of that type of notoriety that I've seen others have, close personal friends that have experienced a level of notoriety that it's a double-edged sword.
It really is.
You get great seats at restaurants, but there's a payout.
You can get into Nobu whenever you want, but
yeah. But you're going to get stared at while you eat.
Oh, man. We're going to take a quick commercial break and then we'll be right back.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
And back to the show. Well, I watched Spirited last night and I was obsessed. Totally obsessed. First of all, I was watching and I was like, gosh, this sounds like Dear Evan Hansen. I wonder if it's Paul Pascal. And I was like, I'm just going to look it up. And I was like, oh, no, it is. Great. But it was amazing. So fantastic. I mean, what a great film.
So good. It's so good. Yeah. I mean, look, this is the thing, you know, my brother wrote and directed this film, along with his partner, John Morris, and the songwriters, who are obviously amazing legends. Yeah, it's just something else, really, to see him create that. I just was in awe of all of it. And lucky that he, you know, that my mom makes him put me in it.
Your mom's like, no, honey, if you don't do this.
Yeah, exactly. He gets into this position where he gets the project down the line and then finally says, and also I want my sister to do it. And then he has to say, like, she's legit. She's like,
she's an actual actor and she's worked for your production company before. So what's okay?
Exactly. You should know her from such shows as your own show. Yeah.
How was it filming that? I mean, that big last scene where you all are dancing and singing and doing the whole thing. How was it rehearsing wise and just everything?
By the way, that last number, particularly the moment where I'm singing with Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell, and Ryan and I are saying, we might be dead, but we're living, that happened at about 3:30 in the morning. Oof. On a street in Boston that was covered in fake snow in the middle of the summer.
Oh my God.
And so we were sweating and deliriously tired and dancing.
It probably added to the performance.
I guess. I mean, you become like you're on some kind of a drug, tired drug. You're like, yeah. I know. It's funny to watch that playback and go, oh my God, that night was so, that was amazing.
I just love that it took the traditional Christmas Carol story and made it something that was different. Because so many times you see people try to do the Christmas Carol in different and unique ways, but it never really is. And this truly did do it, where you were like, oh, there is nothing redeemable about him. Love it. Great.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was really well thought out, and the twists and the turns, and it was just compelling. And I love that line that Patrick Page has, where Ryan Reynolds says to Patrick Page, you mean like Scrooge, like the Bill Murray film? And Patrick Page says, yes, and every other version nobody asked for. Yes. You know, it's true. It's like, you know, Dickens did it best, and then we've all been trying to recreate it. And yeah, it was a big bite to take, and he did it, and he's incredible. He's amazing.
How was it working with your brother?
My brother and I have something really great, which is an enormous amount of respect for our abilities. I almost cried, but I shoved it down. I know it's really sweet. He's been probably my biggest fan. He's been so impressed with the journey I took, which now we all know is not that impressive. It was just me going, all right. But he's just been a big fan. He thinks I do great work. And I feel the same way about him. So when we're together, you know, it's something that we've been trying to do since we've both been in this business, and I believe it will happen at some point. We've been trying to work together in a more significant way, and I'll put that on my vision board when we hang up. But yeah, it's great. We really appreciate each other.
Oh yeah. I love that so much. I love when family members work together. I mean, you have people like the Duplass really brothers, and like, I work with my mom sometimes. It's so nice to see it.
Yeah. And also when it's a good thing, because I imagine there are other family members that work together that's really tricky. But yeah, at the end of this particular shoot, I had tricky things to do. One thing was it got cut, but I sang a song at the mall. And so I had been learning how to sing, and I had learned a song, and we had prepped that. And so we shot that. And then the very next day we shot the hospital scene, which all required a different set of things with like being emotional and present. And all stuff. And we finished my tough stuff, and we shared this look of, we did it. He went to the top brass at Apple and said, do me this favor, let my sister do this role. We won't let you down. And at the end of it, we felt we didn't let them down and we felt good about each Aww. Other. But like, we did it together, you know?
I feel like too, I mean, speaking of the hospital scene, it must have been almost like existential to film that with your brother, your real brother there. Like, it must have had some sort of effect on you both.
It did. And also our other brother's daughter is named Ren. And so it was our niece's name. And it was, you know, it's funny with emotional scenes, I've come to understand that it's going to happen or it's not. You're going to do all the preparation. You're going to be as professional as you can and you're going to show up. And sometimes, and this just happened to me recently, it was terrible. It's like you're dead inside. It's like you're a robot. It's like nothing about humanity touches you in any way. And you're just, and it happened to me recently. And so I went into the scene thinking, okay, good luck. And then other times, whatever it is it Buddha or God or Jesus or something, like something likes it. And it all rains down. And that happened that day where it was there and I was so grateful. And it doesn't even feel like you did it. It just feels like something gave it to you and you're lucky you won today. And that did happen. And you know, I didn't think of that. Maybe you're right. Maybe that is what it was. Maybe it was knowing Sean was there behind the monitors and supportive. Maybe I have to take him every time I have to cry.
Yeah, just make sure he's
there. Thank you, Jillian.
Of course, no problem. Just give him a call. Say, hey, bro, I gotta cry today. Can you stop by Fox, please? Thanks.
And if I ever win an award, I'll be like, thank you, Jillian, for teaching me how to always cry.
Oh, gosh. Well, on this show, we like to share audition stories that have gone awry. Is there something, a story that you would like to share with the listeners?
Yeah, sure. This is always the one that stands out. And I don't know if it translates. It might be one of those stories that like you had to be there. I don't know. But this is what happened was that I had become a bit of a little darling over at Warner Brothers. And I, you know, I stress the word little because it wasn't like I was no Julie Bowen. I didn't have anything like that going on, but I had worked with them quite a bit and they knew me and, you know, Hollywood loved me. You know, I got a birthday gift from them for many years after I stopped working with them. And then one day it stopped. I'll see myself out, but I am going back to work for them in February. So maybe I'll get the bag.
You'll get the bag again.
It was a nice gift. So I was going in for the big one. So I had already gone through casting and producers and studio and now I guess Warner's was a studio. So I was at the studio and it was, and Peter Roth, who's a lovely human being, who was the head at that time, loved me and I loved him. He had been very kind to me. And I went in feeling fine because I had been through this numerous times before and they knew who I was and I felt fine. I was confident, probably the kiss of death. And there was this stupid idea that I had where I was like, it'd be really funny if I said this line and then bit a carrot like I'm Bugs Bunny or something. Like, I don't know what the idea was there, but I was like, I'm going to say the line, I'm going to bite the carrot. They're going to bring a house down. It's going to be amazing. So I did it. Mm-hmm. I bit the carrot, choked on the carrot.
Oh my God. It was a real carrot.
A real carrot. If I could give one piece of advice to actors, don't eat. Just don't eat. Don't put anything in your mouth.
Dead. I thought you were like pantomiming a carrot.
No, I brought a carrot. I brought a carrot and I snapped it off and I choked on the carrot, legitimately choked, not just like, I mean like, and the carrot flew out of my esophagus onto Peter's shoe. And I was like, I'm going to see myself out. And that might be why I don't get a birthday present anymore. That was kind of the end for me at Warner's, come to think of it. I don't think.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was like, and it was one of those things where it's like, oh, big deal. Who cares? But I was mortified. Like, I was just like, wow, that was just really poor decision making. Like, and by the way, didn't ask anybody. Like, didn't say, like, I got this idea, I'm going to do this. Because anybody would have been like, don't do that. Uh-huh. Don't do that. I ask everybody everything and get don't do that often and go, all right, okay, I won't do that. But I don't know what happened there. I think I was overconfident and thought I'm going to crush this.
And I'm going to bring a carrot in and I'm going to eat the carrot.
On Peter Ross feet.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be great. Cement your name in history.
Jesus. Yeah.
That is a beautiful
and
story.
Screaming happened. Thank God.
Thank God. Oh, wow. That's a beautiful, beautiful story. Well done.
That was a tough one. Thank you.
Well done. I'm very proud.
Thank you. I appreciate your support. You're going to be the reason I get an award.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm going to move on past the carrot. Thank you, Jillian.
You're welcome. Oh, gosh. Well, before we go, you have a new show coming out. I don't know if you can talk about anything, but we're just going to say you're on That 90s Show and it's going to be great.
Oh, it's so great. I love it. It's hard to say. When you're in it, you're sort of like, that's amazing. But I really do think it's great. Greg Mettler is the creator, along with all of the original creators of That 70s Show. And it was an incredible experience. And I think it's fantastic. And these new kids that are in it are great. And of course, you know, they bring back the OGs for the...
Yes, I'm so excited. I did a movie with Laura forever ago. I think I was like 19. And she was like the kindest person on the planet to work with.
She really is. Yeah, she directed some of our episodes and she's in it. And she's great. She's a really... I agree with you. I was like, oh, cool. You never know.
You see these people,
you meet them. And sometimes it's a go and sometimes you're like, wah, wah. She was one of the good ones. You're like, oh, good.
Thank
so happy
God.
To know you're good.
Yes, exactly.
She's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. So very exciting. That drops January 18th.
January 18th. So, yay! Netflix. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to watch it. I loved the show.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see it. You're going to be fantastic. I know you are.
Thanks,
and how can people follow you on your social media journey now that you're going to put back in?
Okay, listen. Social media has always freaked me out. I've tried it a few times. It never really takes for me. However, I'm giving it another go.
We're doing it.
I'm waking back up. Yeah, I'm doing it. All right. I'm on Instagram. That's all I can do. I'm snapping and Twitter's.
Listen, it's fine.
Just do
the Instagram.
Just Instagram. It's at Andrea Anders Me. Isn't that adorable?
I love it.
Thanks. All right. We're going to see what happens. I think my mom and my aunt are following me right now. So
I'll follow you right after this.
Thank you, Jillian.
You're welcome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I've had such a great time talking to you, and I cannot wait to see That 90s Show and all the awesome stuff that you do next.
Thanks for having me. It's super nice to meet you. You're great.
Thanks again to Andrea for coming on the show. Next week, there will not be an episode because I am going on a lovely little hiatus, which is mostly going to be me in my bedroom with my dogs reading all of the novels I didn't have time to read this year. That'll be pretty much it. So don't tune in next week, but you can tune in the week after that for another fantastic conversation with a lovely woman named Gloria. I will leave it at that. You can try to figure out who it is. I hope you all have a wonderful Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever it is that you celebrate. I hope it's great. Be safe out there on New Year's. Don't drink and drive. Make sure to use those Ubers or Lyfts or whatever. And if you don't even need them, if you're going to be the DD, I commend you. So I hope you all have a wonderful, wonderful holiday with the ones that you love. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Nowadays, trends and news cycles change faster than we can blink. But there are some things that withstand the test of time. And if you're looking for a connection to something timeless, and maybe also a glimpse of life at a slower pace, I believe everyone can relate to the very human experiences explored in Jane Austen's novels. And that's where I come in. My name is Alison Larkin. I'm a writer, comedian, and narrator and host of The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin. I spent a lot of my childhood in the part of England where Jane Austen lived and wrote, and now that I live in the States, nothing gives me a sense of homecoming quite like narrating her books. On this show, you'll listen to award-winning narration. I'll give myself a pat on the back for that. as well as conversations with actors, writers, and other fascinating people who all share a passionate love for Jane Austen. So please, join me as we embark on a wonderful journey through Jane Austen's work. Be sure to listen and subscribe to The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin, wherever you get your podcasts.